Good evening. Turn, if you would, tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the music that we've enjoyed tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the ability and the health that we have to assemble this evening. I pray that you'd bless now the effort to give your word to your people. I pray, God, that you'd help us to make application where needed, and God, that you'd help us to allow ourselves to be challenged by your word tonight. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to begin by asking you just a couple of questions, all right? You just sit there and answer them however you would consider it to be an accurate answer. But I want to ask you this question. How many of you have ever known a young person that just seemed motivated and driven towards something at a very young age? They were a young person that seemed to know exactly what they wanted to do in life from a very early age. They just knew that this is what they were born for, or at least that's what they believed they were born for, and they were going to follow that dream and they were going to pursue it. We've known some young people like that at some point in our lives, have we not? Some of us have, no doubt. I was sharing with my family this week at supper Monday night about a man that I went to school with. He grew up in a poor home. He grew up in a very rough situation. And for as long as I can remember, he had determined in his heart and mind that he was going to be an attorney. And so whenever he graduated high school, he began putting himself through college, and he paid his way through college and scholarships and grants and whatever it took to accomplish that dream. And sure enough, several years later, he became an attorney. He passed the bar, and now he is a well-respected attorney in the Oklahoma City area, big law firm, etc. So you meet these people, and again, every once in a while, at a young age, you can just tell they've got a passion, they've got a dream, they've got a burden, they've got a desire to do something. You might say it like this: they have an agenda for their life, and they're not going to let anything stand in their way. At the same time, how many of us have known some young people like this? They seem to have no dream and no ambition and no passion and no desire for anything in life. They're content to just wake up each day and see what happens. And if that happens, well, okay, I guess I'll adapt to that. And if this happens, I guess I'll adapt to this. And again, there's no real dream, there's no ambition, there's no desire. And you find that with some of these young people, you constantly need to kick them in the seat to motivate them to do something with their lives. So you ask them questions like, well, what are you doing? What are you pursuing? What is it that you're interested in? What do you care about? What do you like? And so many times they just shrug their shoulders at you like, I don't know. Have you ever had a conversation with someone like that and you just want to scream, don't you want to do anything? Now, as those young people exist in that young person status, here's what we know. They grow up into adults. And so what you tend to meet and what we tend to meet sometimes is this: an adult who is still driven, who is still motivated, who every day they get up with a plan and they get up with an agenda and they get up with a desire to accomplish something. And then you have these adults who are just like they were when they were young people, and they wake up with no ambition. They wake up with no passion. They wake up with no burden. They wake up with no desire, really, to accomplish anything. And they're the kind of person that even as an adult, you just look at them sometimes and you think to yourself, do you not want to accomplish anything with your life? Are you content to just roll with whatever the punches are? I mean, do you not have a desire to do something? And sadly, so many times, even the adults need to be kicked in the seat, because they don't want to do anything. Now, I think this evening, if we were honest, I think all of us would have to admit that we've had our moments of being passive in life, where we needed our seat kicked. Say, oh no, not me, not ever. All the way back to your childhood, you never needed to be kicked in the seat. I mean, there were plenty of times that my parents wanted and did kick me in the seat, so to speak, because they knew I needed some motivation in life. They knew that I wasn't giving it my best, that I was not applying myself to the degree that I could. And even as an adult, there have been plenty of times that I have lost that motivation, so to speak. I've lost that desire. I've lost that passion. And so there have been times that I've had to say to myself even, come on now, you can do better than this. Come on. You can accomplish more. You can achieve more. Don't just be so passive. Determine to do something. Have you ever had to have those conversations with yourself, even as an adult? Get out of bed. The sun's about to be up. You need to get the day started, and you need to accomplish something. I am thankful that though there have been times in my life where I've needed to be kicked, that it doesn't have to stay that way. That you can develop a desire, you can develop a burden, you can develop a passion, and you can have an agenda for your life to accomplish something. Now, why do I mention all that? Well, this evening I want us to look in verse number 24, all right? In verse number 24, we're going to finish the chapter tonight, a relatively familiar portion of Scripture to many of us. But in verse number 24, the Apostle Paul is going to begin talking about athletic events that they would have been familiar with in their day. And here's what we know, that Paul is not making some odd transition from rights and liberties and how you exercise those things to sports just to lighten things up a little bit, okay? Paul is not making a transition of that nature. He is going to use this transition of thought, or he is going to use these metaphors or these analogies to try to convey another spiritual truth. So notice in verse number 24, he said this, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Know ye not. What does that mean? It means this. Do you not know, do you not understand, or do you not perceive this to be the case? So in verse number 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" What is he talking about whenever he talks about one who is running in a race? Well, that would not just be some general race that people would be involved in. This would be like the equivalent of our Olympics, where our Olympics derived from back in the days of Paul. And what might have been for them what we would call a track and field event, some kind of a running race, okay? And so what Paul is saying is this, is that these are the athletes. These are the ones who have trained to get into this position to where they can run in a race. And he said that when a person gets into this position as an athlete, a top-level athlete, to run in this kind of a race, every one of them run. But notice what he said next. But one receiveth the prize. Now, what does that mean? It means this. You don't get a prize just for participation. You don't get a medal just for showing up. They didn't understand political correctness back then. Back then, they competed, and back then, they determined that this was a winner and this was a loser, much like real athletics today. And so he said, don't you understand and don't you know that they which run in a race run all, but only one receiveth the prize? And so what he is conveying here is this, is that not everyone gets something just because they are entered into the race. You can be in the race and come in last place. You can come in the race and according to our standards, as far as the Olympics are concerned, you can come in fourth place and you're not going to get anything. Paul is saying, you got to understand something, that these top-level athletes, you all enter, so to speak, but you don't all get a prize. Then notice what he said in verse number 25. He said, "And every man that striveth for the mastery." What does it mean to strive for the mastery? Well, the word mastery really is just a reference to games. Again, not just silly piddly games that anyone might play, but what, again, we would refer to as Olympic games, or games where true athletes would participate and compete in. And he said in verse number 24, and everyone that striveth for the mastery, so it means for everyone who would give themselves or commit themselves or dedicate themselves to the game or to the sport that they are associated with. They strive and they labor and they push themselves in these areas. Now, as he speaks of the runner and as he speaks of the one who striveth for the mastery, notice what he said next. He said, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He is temperate, or they are temperate in all things. What does it mean to be temperate? It means this: to exercise self-control, self-discipline, or self-restraint. It would be like the idea of governing oneself. This one who runs the race and this one who strives for the mastery, there is something that they have in common, and that is this: they govern and discipline themselves. They restrain themselves. It's kind of like this: they learn when to tell themselves yes and when to tell themselves no. Because here is what we know in our day, and Paul would have known in their day, and all of them would have known, and that is this: if an athlete doesn't want to govern themselves, you cannot make them govern themselves. Does this make sense? If you go back to verse number 19, he said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. You remember last week he said, I'm free from the opinion of everyone, and I don't have to meet anyone's standard, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make myself a servant unto all, because Paul had a desire to see people saved. Amen. Now, as Paul is writing about the athlete, here's what he said. He said, the athlete will govern himself or herself. The athlete is going to tell themselves yes or no, and every bit of that is voluntary. Just like making yourself servant to someone else, this is a voluntary process. At any point, an athlete can say this: I will exercise my rights. I will exercise the liberties that I have afforded to me. I will eat what I want to eat. I will do what I want to do. I will participate in what I want to participate in, or I won't do these things. You understand the free will that an athlete has? This is important to see, okay? Here is the Apostle Paul, and he writes to the runner, and he writes to the athlete in general, and he says, you've got to understand this, that those who run and those who strive for the games, they are temperate in all things. They govern themselves in all areas. But notice what he said next. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. What does that mean? It means everything they do, it has been motivated by this dream or this goal or this ambition of receiving a crown or a wreath that would be corruptible or that would decay or something that would not last forever. They voluntarily say no to certain things, and they voluntarily say yes to certain things. They voluntarily discipline themselves to certain aspects of life so that hopefully when they run the race, they might be the one who wins so that they get the prize. So that whenever they enter into their field of competition, whatever it may be, their hope and their dream and their ambition is this, is that they might win this wreath that would go around their head and whatever notoriety that may come with that. that is their dream, that is their ambition, that is their desire. So notice in verse number 25 what he said after that. But we, an incorruptible. What does that mean? It means this. Just as there are those who in the realm of sports pursue a corruptible crown, we in our spiritual lives should be pursuing an incorruptible crown or a righteous crown that the Scripture talks about in 2 Timothy that fadeth not away. Here's Paul, and he is saying, all right, now listen, there are those who discipline themselves, they police themselves, they restrain themselves so that they might win a corruptible crown. But we do these things voluntarily so that we might win or achieve or obtain an incorruptible crown. He said in verse number 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. What does it mean to run uncertainly? Well, it would mean this, to run with no real goal in mind. Let me tell you something. If I'm running, I've got a goal in mind, and that's to quit. Some people, though, just enjoy the act of running, but they don't really have a goal or a dream or an ambition associated with that running. My barber has told me before that he loves to run, and I said, how far do you run? Just until I quit. Well, let me tell you, that's not me. And the Apostle Paul was saying this of his spiritual life, not his personal life. He is saying this, listen, this race that I am in, this spiritual race that I am involved in, it is not something that I am doing aimlessly or pointlessly or without some kind of an agenda. He said, listen, I am running this race with some direction and with a goal in mind. The Apostle Paul, it should be well established by now, he had a purpose and an agenda to what he was doing. He wanted to see souls saved. He goes on to say in verse number 26, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. What does it mean to beat the air? It just means to be like a shadow boxer or one who just throws punches in the air. You've seen those people before, have you not? They're warming up, and what are they doing? They're throwing a bunch of punches, and what are they connecting with? Absolutely nothing. They're just throwing punches in the air. Well, Paul said that's not the kind of fight that I'm involved in. There is a purpose to this fight. There is an objective to this fight. There is something that I'm trying to achieve in this fight. I'm not just out there flailing my arms around. I'm not out there just swinging just for the sake of swinging. No, he said, like a runner, there is a goal and there is an objective. There is a purpose to what I am doing. And he said, as far as the fighting aspect is concerned, he said, I'm not just out there flailing my arms. There is a purpose to what I'm doing. So in verse number 27, he keeps the analogy going. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. What does that mean? Again, it just means this. I have learned to govern my own personal desires, my appetites, my ambitions, my dreams, my desires. Paul said, I keep under my body and I make my body subject or submit or yield to the Spirit rather than the Spirit submitting or yielding to the desires of the flesh. Just like an athlete goes for that corruptible crown. In doing so, he will police himself, he will restrain himself, he will discipline himself, he will govern himself. Paul said of his spiritual life, and the race that he was in and the fight that he was fighting, he said, I am going to discipline myself. And he had a reason for it, not just the incorruptible crown, but notice what he said next, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What's it mean to be a castaway? It means to be a disqualified contestant. It's someone who didn't make the cut. So here's the Apostle Paul, and he said, listen, I'm going to learn to govern myself, or I have learned to govern myself, so that when I preach to others, I don't eventually one day find myself disqualified from the race and the fight that I am a part of. Do you see the drive and the ambition and the motivation that the Apostle Paul had? In my spiritual life, I'm going to run the race and I'm going to fight the fight, and I will do so by making my body, my fleshly desires, yield to the spiritual side of things so that it can never be said of me, you're a has-been, you're a used-to-be, you're not what you once were. I don't want to be a castaway, and I want an incorruptible crown. I think the flow of this is pretty impressive if you think about it. I don't know if you'll think it's impressive or not. But it's amazing to me that the Apostle Paul throughout this chapter has stressed, I have liberty and I have rights and I have freedoms just like anyone else. But I will not do anything that hinders the cause of Christ. I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, for this reason, that I might by all means save some. And though I have the freedom to govern myself however I want, I am going to govern myself in such a way that at the end I hope to obtain that incorruptible crown, and in the process never become a castaway. So in order for that to take place, I will voluntarily discipline and constrain myself to make the appetite of the flesh yield to the appetites or the desires of the Spirit. That's impressive. You do not accidentally do that. You do that on purpose daily. Now, as you think of that, as you consider that, I want to show us just one more thing, and I just want to spend a couple of moments on this. But I think this is interesting. Back in verse number 24, he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. You don't get a prize just for showing up. You don't get a prize just because you've entered into the race. Come on, believers. Run with the desire, with the hope, with the ambition, with the passion that you might obtain your own prize, your own crown, that incorruptible crown, that which fadeth not away, that which hath some eternal value. Now again, you've got to consider the greater context of all this. What even motivated this flow of thought from the Apostle Paul? You have to go back to when the Corinthian believers asked this question. Can we eat meat offered unto sacrifices? They're over here saying you can't, but Paul, we think we can. And what did Paul say? Paul said, you know, at the end of the day, you can do whatever you want as it relates to meat. But you got to remember that if you do anything that causes a brother to stumble, you are sinning against Christ. Now, if you'll follow the thought process, here's what you see. There were Corinthian believers who were so consumed with their own rights, their own liberties, their own freedoms in Christ to do whatever they wanted, that they did not want to exercise any personal restraint whatsoever in their spiritual lives. They wanted to wake up, and however the day presented itself to them, that was how they were going to go with it. So if they found themselves in this situation, okay, I guess this is how I'll respond. And if they were in this situation, I guess this is how I'll respond. And in that attitude and in that spirit of being so consumed with their own rights, they were no longer pursuing an incorruptible crown. They were just existing. And here is Paul saying to the believers, come on, guys. Run in such a way that you might actually obtain the prize. Because you'll not receive a participation trophy. These Corinthian believers needed to be kicked in the seat because they were so consumed with themselves and their rights and their freedoms that they weren't worried about the gospel. They weren't worried about hindering the gospel. They weren't worried about reaching some and seeing some saved. It was all about them, and they had no ambition for that which was eternal. This evening, I just want to ask us a couple of questions, okay? And again, we're just going to be here for a couple of minutes. We're not going to be here a long time. We've known young people who were driven, right, in different areas of life. Let's not get sidetracked, okay? I really want us to hear this. And we've known adults who are driven by the things of this world, correct? And we've known young people and we've known adults who are passive in different areas of life. It's just a fact of life. I wonder this evening if we know, and I trust that we do, but I wonder this evening if we know it is still possible to be passionate about our pursuit of an incorruptible crown. And all I mean by that is this, is do we realize, and I hope that we do, but do we realize that we can be running this race or living this life with a purpose and with a passion and with a desire and with an agenda to see souls come to Christ as their Savior? It can be done. We know it can be done because there are those who live with such a passion. And there are those who live with such a desire. And there are those who are willing to discipline themselves so as to not hinder the gospel so that some might be saved. And they're not always worried about their own rights and their own liberties. They're actually worried about a bigger world out there than their own personal lives. But I also wonder this. How many people sitting in church, not just ours, but ours included, how many people sitting in church need to be told, so run that ye might obtain? I wonder how many of God's people today need to be kicked in the pants because we don't live the Christian life with much ambition. We don't live the Christian life with much passion. There's not really a purpose to our running, and when it comes to our fighting, many times we're just flailing away at some shadow, but we're not really engaged in anything that matters. I mean, let's be honest. While there are people who willingly govern themselves because of their passion, so as not to disqualify themselves from the ministry that God has given them, whatever it may be, while those people exist, there are many who sit in church who have no passion and no desire for the things of God. And what they've convinced themselves of is this, is that showing up is good enough for the incorruptible crown. And Paul said that not all that run a race receive a prize. I don't like to admit this, but you probably know what I'm about to admit. But if I look back over the course of my saved life, you know what I'd have to admit? I'd have to admit this. Many times, I'm the one who's needed kicking. Because I get comfortable. I get involved in my routine. I get into my little rut. And I lose sight of the fact that there is a purpose to this race that I'm running. And many times the things that I want to fight and many times the things that I want to flail with, I mean, there's really no purpose to that either. Have you ever been guilty of what I'm talking about? Just getting so lazy. That in the spiritual life, we have no agenda. We're just going to get up and we're just going to roll with it and whatever the day brings us. Well, I mean, well, amen, brother. That's how I'm going to respond. Okay, that's not the Christian life the way it's supposed to be lived. And there's no reward in that. If I want an incorruptible crown, if I want to be able to claim my prize, so to speak, at the end, you know what I've got to be willing to do? I've got to be willing to keep under my body and bring it under subjection. I've got to voluntarily learn how to tell myself yes to certain things and no to other things and not let anything get me off track in those things. So if this person is doing this, okay, that's what they're doing, but this is the race and this is the fight that God has me in and I can't be distracted by that. And in order to achieve what I'm supposed to achieve, I've got to tell myself no here and I've got to say yes to this and I've got to say not right now to something else, whatever it may be. If I am going to run the race and fight the fight that I'm supposed to so that I obtain my prize and my crown, I've got to learn how to discipline myself. And that, as you know, can be quite difficult to do. And I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be offensive. But I think I can tell tonight, just by your response and your body language, some of you know right now exactly what I'm talking about. Because if you just had to be honest tonight and admit, you're comfortable, you're relaxed, you're not running like you should or fighting like you ought. Here's the beauty of it, and you know this to be true. The laziest of kids can find motivation. The laziest of adults can find some motivation. And that's encouraging because it means this, the laziest of Christians can find that encouragement and that challenge and that desire and that passion they need. But it has to become a want to in our Christian life. We have to want that prize. We have to want that crown. And we've got to want that more than anything else in this life. So I'm just asking you tonight, do you need to be kicked in the seat? I'm not saying you do. I'm just asking, do you need to be kicked in the seat? If so, don't get mad that you got kicked. Just say, you know, I needed that. And God, with your help, and God, by your grace, I'm going to start disciplining myself again. And I'm going to get involved in the race once more. And I'm going to fight the fight you'd have me to fight. And I'm going to stop being distracted by everything else that wants me to take away from the number one objective in this life. If you needed the challenge tonight, take heed to it, okay? And let the Lord work however He would see fit. And let's not resist it, because I promise you, even in our small church, there is room for improvement from your pastor on down. Every one of us have got certain areas that we could be doing better in. So let's let the Lord work and lead, and let's be responsive in the way that we need to, okay? All right, let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you this evening, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Once again, Lord, to not be those people who are so consumed with our wants, our desires, and our dreams. But God, that you'd give us that desire and that you'd help us to govern ourselves in such a way that we would pursue that which is eternal and that which matters. And Lord, that you'd help us to have that kind of a passion and that kind of an ambition with our life. Lord, would you help us to remember tonight the importance of the eternal and the unimportance of the temporal, and that we would fight in the way that we ought to fight. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. As Lauren